Hi and welcome to Brought to the Table. Wait, why am I hosting?
Because you don't like podcasts.
Oh yeah. Hi, welcome to Brought to the Table. I'm hosting because I fucking hate podcasts. Hi and welcome to Brought to the Table. A podcast where we get together a subset of our friends because we can only really stand three of us at a time. Today, we have me, the most important, Scott, Carter, and Diana something last name. We're going to be talking to you today about a topic that at least two out of three of us in this group enjoy, and that is podcasts.
Yeah, so it's wild to me that you're on a podcast and you don't really like them, huh?
Yeah, so Scott, why did you agree to do a podcast with us if you hate podcasts?
For friendship, wait, Diana.
I could have not agreed
That's
to do this.
That's a bold-faced lie. Don't lie, Carter. Don't lie.
You're telling me the guy holding a gun to my head is just here for show? I can leave anytime I want?
Yeah,
when
he's...
Scott signed the friendship contract, a subset of that was to participate in Collaborate Teen. We do renew this contract with Scott every year. We all slip him $20. Carter pays for all of us. And part of that was to participate in whatever our Collaborate Teen project was, and it happened to be a podcast.
Orgy was ruled out.
Scott already
it was
spent
unfortunate.
The $20, so...
Carter, yeah. You owe me $80, apparently. I'm gonna need that real soon.
Carter, no. You're supposed to keep up with these payments.
First I just took month. Your money, Diana. That
Jokes
was a scam.
On you. I have no money.
Because Carter took it all.
Yep, accurate. It. There you go. Hot damn.
All right.
Who wants to tell us what a podcast is? Because our listeners probably don't know.
Scott, I'll tell you what a podcast is because our listeners probably don't know. A podcast for you listener who probably don't know is a form of on-demand audio media, and in fact that's essentially all it is. It's generally spoken word. Occasionally they'll have musical segments, and they are accessible via the internet. That is essentially all a podcast is, at least in terms of the end user. There's a couple of more architectural things that make a podcast specifically a podcast, which I'll talk about later because it's really interesting. I don't think that a lot of people know how podcasts work, like how the audio gets from my mouth to your ears.
It's a good time process, yeah. In which we tell Ian to stop recording in fucking Egypt.
Yep.
I wanted to bring up my only particular point for this topic that I care about, and that in the age of the internet, podcasts are the radio version of blogs.
Yeah, I think Black Tapes, which is a good podcast, quotes it as, it's like radio on demand. It's a really great way of just summing that up.
I mean, it is radio on demand, and actually, Scott, your description of podcasts are the audio version of blogs is more accurate than I think you realize.
No, I have some notes I took on this. You guys just interrupted me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, Diane interrupted you and I interrupted her just, you know, out of habit. So go ahead.
So like you've got the on-demand part where like a podcast, you usually go and there's some content that somebody has posted and you can take it anytime you want. As opposed to like a typical radio show where you either tune in or you have to record it yourself to make it on demand, right? This is very similar to a blog where anybody can start one. You can post something anytime you want. And the quality ranges from shitty single episode, bad content, all the way to professionally produced. Just like there are professionally produced blogs for companies or something like that. And by audience, most people are attracted to few big podcasts or blogs, which are the good ones. But there's definitely like it's unlike a radio show or unlike, I guess, legit print media where you have like a kind of set of professionally produced ones. It's more of a spectrum from like shitty to good that people are listening on.
Yeah. Podcasts, I think their primary draw is that they're on demand. I heard somebody say once that podcasts are the medium that you choose when both your eyes and your hands are busy. So...
Yeah, I actually think that's one of the reasons why podcasts are truly wonderful and so handy in this day and age is because we multitask. Ain't nobody got the patience to do one thing at a time. Multitask, my man. I never am listening to a podcast and doing nothing else.
Yeah. So all of the things we've said so far, you probably already know, listener. Most people who are listening to this podcast are listening to it because, you know, it's a podcast. You're not just hearing it live on the radio. There's the odd person out who's just hearing it played through Kevin's, you know, musical recorder thing. But
yeah, we taped a boombox to Kevin while he flies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, he doesn't fly very well anymore.
Live in the air, you know what I'm saying?
That was terrible.
Yes, it was. So I want to sort of dive into podcasts a little bit in terms of why they've gained so much traction and why over the past couple of years they've been pretty popular. They've been around for a long time. Honestly, I didn't do enough research, so I couldn't tell you precisely how long they've been around. But they've been around for, I want to say, around 15 years or so. So not like a crazy long time. But it was very small for a long time. But it has picked up speed because the advent of like mobile devices that can download things from the internet at anywhere, at any time, has really given, I don't know, given podcasts some legs, like that they can use to
literal know, reach, and physical.
Yeah, literal and physical legs that podcasts use to walk onto your phone.
Like every most phones, Apple, Android, no matter what, have some form of default podcast application that is on your phone. Like iPhones automatically come with a podcast app as a default.
Yeah. And in fact, 70% of podcast listeners are through Apple Podcasts, and there's other podcast apps like Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play. You know, you know all this. You're a listener of podcasts. You know how to get them. But the thing that makes it really interesting is that podcasts, unlike things like music, where there can often be a pretty high barrier to entry with the production and the music and the music, what the hell, but with the production and the instruments and distribution, like music, I would imagine, is a fairly difficult business to like get your stuff out there for people to listen to in any reasonably accessible way. Like, you know, you can't just drop an album onto Spotify.
I mean, you do have the ability to release certain content on iTunes, but there is a higher barrier for it than there is for releasing a podcast on iTunes. I'm not exactly sure about the Q's and T's of that, but I do know that to get a song onto iTunes, especially to monetize it, let alone for it to just be free, it is a higher barrier to get that to happen.
Yeah. Whereas when you're developing a podcast, you know, you have to have a microphone that is as good as you want, which can be as cheap as $40, you know, or it can be even cheaper than that. You could record on your phone if you wanted to, or you could go crazy expensive, get several $100 microphones. You need something to record it with, a computer, and you need somewhere to host your audio files like SoundCloud, or I don't think Spotify does hosting of podcasts, but there's a lot of podcast services out there where you can pay a pretty reasonable amount of money to have your podcast hosted. Or you can do what we do and do it all custom. Good job, Scott.
Yeah. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, how much is reasonable? Should we be doing that? We pay like $5 a month to host all of our stuff.
Yeah, and that's cheaper than a lot of podcast places will provide you space for, because they'll also do all of like the RSS stuff. They'll have like you don't have to build any of it. You just put in the data for your podcast and then you upload your files and you're good to go, and they send it to all of the different podcasting apps.
So you're telling me that the thing I spent like 6 hours making is a business model that we should be capitalizing on?
Yeah. TM. But yeah, so like, you know, I think the description that I just gave you guys sort of shows you that it doesn't take a lot to start a podcast. I mean, us Chuckle Fucks did it, so how hard could it be? I mean, really.
What a great description. Thanks, yeah. Carter.
And because of that low barrier to entry, podcasts have a really wide variety of interests that you can explore. So there's things like our podcast, which are sort of general podcasts. There's things that are more oriented, like design or just sort of human interactions, and then there's things that even get down into like super niche territories, like there's podcasts just for esports and just for like esports tournaments. There were podcasts just for the Overwatch League, which I'm pretty sure had like 10 listeners a piece, but they did it because they wanted to. And that, you know, they didn't necessarily make any money off of it, but they were able to produce this at a pretty low cost. The only real cost is the time you're investing in it.
Yeah, that low barrier, unlike TV shows, which require ratings and what have you, unlike audiobooks, which, and books in general, which again require ratings, and there's a lot more that goes into production, because podcasts have such a low barrier of entry, you have the ability to have intensely niche podcasts. Like, some are just podcasts that are designed to help you fall asleep, or some that are designed to educate you about a very specific topic. Podcasts have that flexibility to be incredibly niche, like specific esports, even if it's only 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And like both podcasts and blogs, the point I was trying to make, create a community surrounding that topic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, podcasts, unlike TV shows, give you a little more kind of connection with the host, so to speak, especially if it's a one-person host. And like, some of them read off questions sent in or read off topics sent in by their listeners. Hey, guys, send us stuff in. You get a more sense of community, especially with these small niche podcasts, just like Scott is saying.
Yeah. One thing about community that I kind of want to dig into is... in recent history, like just the past couple of years, there's been a real surge in what's called live play tabletop podcasts, where people will play these role-playing games in an effort to, you know, produce a story, a collaborative story with each other, and then broadcast that out to whatever audience will listen. And so shows like Critical Role and The Adventure Zone have really taken off recently, which in turn has caused Dungeons & Dragons and other role-playing games like it to really experience a boost just from these shows that really fit this medium really well. And so, you know, this community that gets built around, you know, like a podcast sort of also builds the community around whatever the podcast is about.
Community can be a really nice thing to have with a podcast or a blog or this very niche topic, especially when it is a niche topic and you feel... like, you want to express and you want to interact with somebody who is into this and knows as much as you do, especially with tabletop gaming, you get this growth that you wouldn't have had before in this topic, and it eventually expands into bigger and bigger, and it's a wonderful way of kind of homegrowing a community.
Yeah, I love it. Is there anything else, like, just about podcasts as a medium that sort of plays into how popular it's gotten in the past couple of years that you guys want to hit?
So I think part of it that I wanted to point out, which I'm sure you guys know if you do any kind of fiction podcast, is the level of immersion. It's kind of what sets you apart from the two things that are kind of similar to podcasts as a medium, which is on-demand streaming of television shows and audiobooks. Both are, I would say, are kind of similar to the setup of podcasts, but what podcasts have going for them is they can feel intensely immersive in a way that those two other ones don't. You get a lot of great Foley work. You get this wonderful sense of being, especially in some of the fiction podcasts, a part of this world. I remember one of the early reviews of Night Vale, actually, was that this reviewer was saying that when they're sitting alone home in the dark, just kind of like getting ready to go to bed, and they're listening to Night Vale, they really do feel like they are a part of this small desert town, and they're just listening to the radio. I think their podcasts hold a level of immersion because it is small and you can bring it with you, and you can add your own level of imagination to it. Like, you can imagine what the characters of the tabletop games look like. You have this wonderful sense of bringing your own part of it that sometimes other mediums do not provide.
Yeah. So, God, I love that, because you're right. Just by virtue of being an audio only medium, you do have a lot that's still left to the imagination in terms of fiction or even nonfiction. You know, you can fill in the gaps, make it semi-fictional. I don't know, whatever the hell you want to call it. But yeah, it's something that you don't get a lot with other streaming platforms, because other streaming platforms are primarily video based. Speaking of podcasts as a streaming platform, I kind of want to transition into something I think is unique to podcasts, that sort of has come sort of like made a jump in recent years because, so, you know, back in the olden days, there were blogs, right? And blogs function on what's called RSS feeds, which are also what podcast functions on, podcasts function on. And what is interesting about that is that you don't have to access it through any one particular place. For example, if I post on Facebook, really the only place that you're going to be able to access that post on Facebook is through Facebook. The thing about blogs back, you know, a couple of years ago and podcasts now is that there is no central or there's no central access point. The whole point of podcasts being distributed in the way that they are is that they are available to whatever platform wants to access them.
And in addition, they're also free.
Yeah. Well, not all podcasts
are free.
Not all podcasts are free, which makes it hard to monetize. Well, the fact that podcasts are generally free means that it's hard to monetize podcasts, which if you are somebody who is in the mood to donate to a podcast, go find a podcast that you like and donate to them. They would appreciate it.
Donate to us.
We don't have a Patreon set up yet. But
just slip Kevin a 20. We'll get it.
The reason that I bring it up like that is that, like Diana said earlier, you can access podcasts through any number of applications, be it Apple Podcasts, be it Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, SoundCloud. There's a lot of different avenues through which to access the same content. And you can even go to, most of the time, you can go to that that podcast producer's website. Like you can visit our website, Brought to the Table. We have the exact same content on the website that you would find on Apple Podcasts. And because of that, podcasts are platform agnostic. You know, it is just something where we tell you how you can access it. But if you want to, you can access it however you want. You could build your own website that pulls in our podcast. And
I really love that phrase, platform agnostic.
Yeah, it's a great phrase. It's why I prefer Facebook Messenger, because you can access it on anything at iMessage users. Talking about that distribution mechanism, I want to start talking about the sort of mechanics behind podcasts, because I don't think a lot of people really understand how a podcast gets from, like I said earlier, my mouth to your ears.
We whisper it sweetly into the night.
We also have like a kind of unique step that we are a distributed recording podcast. I mean, it's not completely unique, but you add an extra layer.
Explain
like we're
that
not
for
recording
those of us
on
at
the
home.
We're recording separately, right?
Oh,
we're recording
yeah.
in disparate locations.
Oh. I see what you mean. Yeah. You know, a lot of podcasts will everybody will record in the same location, or there will be one person recording, or maybe there will be like somebody recording and then there will be interviews interwoven in, and we are functioning from, you know, if we're all here, five separate locations recording five separate sound feeds, and then we mix them all together and edit them so that you can hear them as one continuous conversation. So,
and the editing process is such a hoot, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's fucking great, y'all. I love it. I love editing out all of my own ums and ahs.
I love editing in my ums to Carter's feed.
Yeah, we actually have saved them over the years. This is actually a release of Carter's album. Stay with us.
But anyways, did either of y'all want to talk about the editing process, or did y'all just want to kind of go?
So,
about?
We should go through the full pipeline here. So
yeah,
like,
why don't we start from the beginning and walk our way through it?
Yeah, Scott, why don't you go ahead and talk us about do we want to talk about recording? Seems like
no, you got to go earlier than that.
How do you want to, where the fuck do you want to start?
You
got
to start with the idea, right?
The idea of the podcast or the episode?
Both. You got to start with some
all right,
theme.
So you want to start a podcast. Here's how you do it.
First step.
First,
don't do that.
Unsubscribe. First step, unsubscribe. So the way that we as a group, as our five collective people with all of our hosts started our podcast was we got together. We're like, hey guys, collaborate teen. We're all friends. We should do something. Let's start a podcast. What do you want a podcast about? That went on for a couple of weeks. We finally figured it out. And then we were like, hey guys, we need a name for a podcast. That was a fun night where we went back and forth so many times. Let me tell you, all the
many
names
limbs
you guys
were lost.
We actually had
eight members to start with, and three of them are dead.
We murdered them.
Kevin wasn't always a pigeon. I want to point that out. Kevin was not always a pigeon.
So once we had picked a podcast name, we picked a scheduled date for how often we want to record, the distance and time we want to release that episode it from. We normally record on a Thursday. Our episodes usually drop on a Tuesday. We are, what, a week ahead?
A week and a half, depending on how you look at it.
Today is the day after Halloween, listener, so you'll figure it out from there.
Yeah, do your math.
Yep. So usually the podcast you will hear coming out on a bright, beautiful Tuesday will be the podcast we recorded, not the immediately Thursday after that, but the one before that, because we like to give ourselves a little time to edit, because we have jobs outside of this.
Debatable.
Yeah, both of you to assume that I work. No,
and
I work heavily.
So we decided how often we want to record, when we want to drop. We all got together, decided when we wanted to start podcasting, how many episodes we wanted to have before we released. Carter insisted we had 20, but that's okay.
Oh my God.
And so, that brings us, now that's all the setup work we essentially did. You're missing out a lot of arguments about names, colors, flags, countries, and otherwise things. But that's how we initially started the idea.
Yeah, I want to know my favorite part about us deciding the name. I still have that document, by the way, the document full of all the names that we had. Maybe we'll post it.
Yes.
But my favorite part about it is brought to the table was not on that list.
No, right? Actually,
nope. I was on my way to D&D and I came up with it in my head and I texted the group and everybody said yes.
Because we had been in a long-standing debate about what the name would be, and that seemed like the most neutral decision that everybody was on board for. And let me tell you, getting five people's opinions, not to mention five people's schedule, to match up at a minimum of once a week is very difficult.
I'm going to do you all of our listeners a favor. And I'm going to go ahead and read you some of the top contenders for the name
please
of
this podcast. Please do. Yes. There's some really good ones.
Family reunion, bad. Hot takes, worse. Several bad takes later, the name for this list. How are we still friends? Why
I
are we
still like
friends?
That.
How are we doing today, ? The good shit, y'all. Subsumed by The Good Place, a TV show. How to Be an Idiot, an Expert's Guide. That was Carter's solo podcast that didn't work out.
Yeah. He still wanted to keep the name because he had registered it, so we're still working that out.
Yeah.
I think one of the top contenders was Tales from the Couch.
Yes, it was.
I still like that one.
The goal is we don't fucking argue, misspelled twice.
So, for the record, our Discord channel is named The Couch. That's why it's called Tales from the Couch.
We also had Couch Thoughts. Highlighted in this list for some reason is a quote, a pretty good donkey noise.
I like the following one, a pretty good Donkey Kong noise.
Yes, I think that is an important distinction that we made.
Oh, here's a good two pair here. Only our parents listen, and then, you know, we kind of took stock of it and we said not even our parents listen as a title.
I still like not even our parents listen. But that was the idea man process. Does somebody want to describe the recording / editing process?
How to name a podcast :empty. And then time flies when you toss clocks.
Love it.
All right. So those were all the terrible names.
That is not nearly all of them.
that's all they need to know about.
Hey, why the fuck did we say Grand Theft Ottoman?
Because it was couches and we wanted a couch pun.
There's so many of these crossed out.
So many
good ones. Anyways, let's talk about the actual recording process.
So first you have to come up with an idea for that week. Or at least we do. Some podcasts you have like linear time where you're telling a story. We kind of just get together on Wednesdays and be like, shit, guys, remember, it's Wednesday and podcast is tomorrow. And then we're like, all right, let's talk about podcasts. And Carter's like, nah.
Then
I suggested
like,
that
fine.
2 weeks ago. I want that noted.
All right. Noted.
Court will not receive that until
all right,
we have
let me go
final
fucking
proof.
Screenshot. Give me just a minute, y'all.
There. Send me the proof.
Anyways,
we'll post
then
the proof.
usually we'll end up either researching or like coming up with like what the structure we want to be. You can tell this week we did none of that shit. No structure, no research.
Yeah, I was expecting to host down. This week.
And then we get into the recording process. For us, we have a kind of a different process because we're all in a different spot and we're not like in a studio. We actually get on Discord. You can use Skype or whatever. So we end up basically voice calling everyone in there. Everybody records separately, and then we piece together a real conversation from that later in the editing process.
Let me tell you, it is rough stitching sometimes to take these 5 bits of audio and mush it together into one product.
Yeah, if it sounds like sometimes we don't make sense when we're talking, like, it's usually because people talked over each other and we edit it to be non-linear time and have people talking at different times.
We do our best. We try so hard.
We also don't know who's editing until the podcast is over, so.
Yeah, that's a fun tip. You can always tell who's done editing. Usually, like Scott said, my timelines for who's talking when is a little non-linear because I try to differentiate between people not having talk at the same time because it's really hard and I do my best, guys.
Anyways, so recording kind of goes how you expect. We all use Audacity. It's a free program. It's actually really good. It lets you record, edit, save, MP3s, all that stuff. If you ever recorded like literally anything, even like a voicemail, it's all you got to do. Click the record button, talk, click the stop button, save. Last part's important.
Very important. We discovered that the fun way.
Then you usually want to produce something that's good. So we get all these individual files together. Audacity lets you combine them, so on and so forth. Somebody edits out, and usually when we're recording, we just talk for random shit for like 10, 15 minutes, and then we start the actual podcast, and we take those 10, 15-minute clips, distill them into the one-minute segments you hear at the beginning where we say something stupid and laugh, and you're like, why the fuck are they talking? You know.
It's a good time.
Yeah, and we usually put one at the end, too. Also, with the editing process, we have our custom-made theme song that we, you know, slab right in the middle.
Composed,
I don't actually get on my guitar and play that every time we record.
Yeah, composed, written by Scott himself. That's why he's a one-word-only name. It's because he is the Cher, the Madonna of
Composed
our
is a strong word for I just recorded guitar for 30 minutes and cut 30 seconds of it.
Composed.
He jammed it.
He jammed it.
I couldn't play it again if I tried.
Scott exclusively does all our music. We do rent him out for birthday parties. Have food, we'll travel. All
right. Then it seems like you're done, right? That seems like the hard part of podcasting.
The editing? Yes.
No, I mean, the hard part of making a good podcast is getting it to people.
Debatable. So we edit the podcast. We put it up on our
Diana,
site.
Diana, you're taking this from your experience. You're not making a good podcast.
Damn.
Our podcast
That's
is
true.
Not good.
That's true.
I can't argue with that.
You have some central location. You're putting all your podcast metadata and the episodes. You got to upload them so they're on the internet. And then you usually have to basically broadcast that information everywhere. So we post on the website. The website has an RSS feed so that like a bunch of different apps, like Carter said, podcasts are platform agnostic. So we basically just have an RSS feed. iTunes is constantly looking at that feed, seeing if we posted something. Stitcher's looking at it. Your favorite other podcast app is looking at that, seeing if we got an episode. If so, they display it in their own custom app format, and you get to download our episode from our website. Mm-hmm. So with all that, it means you basically have to have some website hosted somewhere. So you're paying somebody to do it, or you're doing it yourself.
And beyond that, there is the boosting of it on social media. I do actually put effort into that. I wake up early because there is something to posting on social media. There is a certain time period where you want to post, usually during the morning, but not first thing in the morning. Otherwise, you end up at the bottom of the feed. You usually want to post in the neighborhood of 9 to 10 a.m. because that's when people are done with their morning and they're actually checking their phones. There are actual statistics and data on this, people. I kid you not. There is a certain level of statistics, which, by the way, Christina, thank you for helping me with this because you're a professional and you're lovely as a person. There's a certain amount of words you're supposed to use, whether or not you use copyrighted images. Make sure you source your images if you don't. If you're going to go look for free source, make sure you don't have to buy for them, but you're using an open source thing that ethically sources their photos and doesn't just rip people off. Additionally, you need to also look at your tags. How are you tagging this? You need to keep people's information engaged enough so that they actually read the entire post.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of work going into it.
Not to mention, you could be doing all of these right for your social media posts, and you still end up like Diana, where as much effort and time you put into this and how much effort you planned before, which, by the way, let me tell you, timed and scheduled posts are a godsend, because I already have to get up early every morning, and doing that and scheduled posts are very wonderful. There is also a certain level of popularity. You just have to, there is a certain level of that you can't control. You have to know the right people to boost the right thing and to connect with the right people and networking. You could be doing all of this correctly and still be struggling to make a significant amount of listeners and viewers and people who engage in your content, because the world of social media and the world of media in general is a very fickle thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It it takes a lot for a podcast to get recognized. There's I knew just last week how many podcasts roughly there are. There's tens of thousands of podcasts out there. So if you're gonna, you know, hit the top of the iTunes charts, even in like something, you know, like a super mundane category or a super specific category, you really have to be on your game. You really have to be every day doing something, and it takes a lot of work to have a popular podcast. So,
yeah. And even beyond just having a popular podcast, you could be engaging every day, but because your audience is not reaching out beyond that and beyond that, your everyday hard work still may not be getting to where you want to go. There is a large portion of networking, because the barrier of entry is so low for making a podcast. There's thousands and millions and tons of them. So to differentiate yourself from that does require a no small part in just catching attention, who you know, being popular.
And I want to kind of bring up a point I made earlier and destroy it, which is... So I said podcasts are a lot like blogs, but because podcasts are generally a longer format, like, I don't know, what's the shortest podcast you guys listen to regularly? 20 minutes long, 30 minutes 15, long?
20, 25?
I listen to a 15-minute long podcast.
That's, like, even 15 minutes is a pretty big commitment for people who have, like, people on the internet age who have no attention span. With a blog post, you can get traffic by, like, you know, sharing it on Reddit, and people will go and read your blog post in 2 minutes, 3 minutes, or they'll skim it or something, right? And you can get traffic. But podcasts, I think most of the traffic you're getting is repeat listeners, right? Mm-hmm. People don't usually share one episode of a podcast.
Yeah.
No, and the best you can do is recommend it to someone. Like, Ian and I will trade recommendations for podcasts, and we're friends and we know what each other likes, but that doesn't mean, like, he's been telling me to get into Critical Role for a while and I just haven't gotten into it. And I've been telling him to get into Limetown for a while and it's just not happened. The point is that you can recommend a podcast, doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Yeah. It's a lot like you have to sell somebody like on a long time commitment for like the podcast to actually become popular. You have to have regular listeners who are willing to put in 15 minutes every 2 weeks at like the bare minimum.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing and a difficult thing for podcasters to do, to break into a new sector, because podcasts, if you listen to podcasts, you likely listen to more than one podcast. You don't listen to one podcast. You'll have multiple at your disposal because it is a medium that you use. And things like articles, you know, articles on the internet or browsing through Reddit or something, that is a medium that you've chosen to use. And so the same thing goes for podcasts, in that it is just a different way that you consume media. Getting somebody to adopt a form of media just so that you can distribute your content to them is extremely difficult.
Yeah, there's a huge barrier to entry just to get somebody into the medium. Like me, I don't listen to podcasts. And also, like, once you're there, people who are already into podcasts generally already have their set of podcasts they're listening to. And it's like, I'm going to compare it to me watching TV shows. Normally, I don't want to keep track of more than a handful that are, like, you know, live and airing every week at a time, because otherwise I'm just going to run out of free time.
That's fair. Like, every couple of weeks or at least once a month, I go through and I'm like, do I listen to this podcast? Have they updated anytime soon? Do I at least know, like, with Limetown, they hadn't updated in forever, but at least I knew a set date. I knew exactly when they were going to update. Some other ones, like, they just haven't updated, and we have no idea if we're going to get another season or any more content from them. So what's the point in me paying attention to them anymore? the barrier for actually paying attention, because it is such a large time commitment and level of immersion, means that you just often get dropped if you aren't engaged in your community. You can set up a community, you can become popular, you can really get into it, but if you do not continuously engage in your community for this podcast as a medium, it is very easy to lose that level of community. You don't update for a month or two with no explanation, no reason why. Why are we going to keep listening to you?
One interesting thing that I found, you know, listening to a lot of podcasts and seeing a lot of podcasts is one of the top networks that distributes podcasts is actually National Public Radio. And this is
true.
Yeah. And they produce a lot of stuff. They produce the TED Talk Radio Hour or whatever it's called. They produce the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. They produce NPR's Fresh Air, a lot of shows that are all regularly produced. They're very high quality. They have a lot of good stuff going on for them. But the reason that I want to talk about them is because podcasts do something where, like we said earlier, they are readily accessible across the globe. You know, if you have access to internet, you have access to podcasts, which is awesome for these big shows that NPR puts on. But it's causing them this sort of difficulty in funding, because as NPR transitions to a more podcast internet oriented level, they are defunding their local radio stations because they're putting that money towards national podcasts, which are these, you know, the bigger productions. And so, you know, I don't really know all of the intricacies of how that works and if there's any plan or anything like that, but it's definitely something that's really interesting to me because, like, you know, NPR, their whole goal is to be able to provide local news. You know, like that is a core fundamental thing about NPR, is that the National News Network provides funding for local news sources so that you can have an unbiased news source, you know, not taking money from, you know, the construction business that's thinking about tearing down that forest, you know, things like that. And with more NPR shows going to podcasts and more money going to podcasts, those local stations are losing funding because of that.
And additionally, to get more funding to really put on these podcasts, they will have to take private ads, which would kind of skew some of that in the middle, some of that, you know, kind of not on no side. They won't have quite the same level if they do, similar to TV shows, have to worry about advertisers pulling in and out, because there are advertisements on, similar to radio, there are advertisements on podcasts, and that's how a fair portion of large podcasts get funding, is not just donations, but they do also read advertisements. But that does mean that you are concerned with your advertisers.
Yep. All right. So we've talked a lot about podcasts. We've bounced around a lot. So, you know, I don't know. Do you guys have any closing remarks before I say one last thing?
I just wanted to say podcasts are a really fun medium to get into for recording them, and I can see the appeal. But they are also a lot of work, as we have tried to point out. So we don't want you to feel bad for us. We want you to gain an appreciation, because if you're listening to this, you probably listen to other podcasts. Gain an appreciation for the good podcasts in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is less meant to be us complaining about the amount of work we do with the little yield, and more to be about us explaining the amount of work we put in because we want to.
Yep.
Because we think this is a fun thing to do as a group and as friends. And yeah, it can be tiring sometimes, but we could have stopped at literally any moment. There was nothing quite stopping us. Nothing really hazardous in our way of doing this, but we continue to do it because we like it, which a lot can be said for other podcasters.
Yeah. Joke's on you. My debilitating fear of change makes everything hard for me to stop doing.
The real reason we keep recording.
Sounds like a joke, doesn't it? Anyways, so before we go, Scott, I don't think, if you have an answer to this, I'll be fucking stoked. But if you don't, if you don't have an answer, I won't be surprised. Diana, do you have any podcast recommendations that you want to drop out there for our listeners?
So I try to listen to a mix of fiction and nonfiction podcasts. I usually end up more on the fiction side. One kind of in the middle podcast that I will recommend because I actually started listening to it when it first started out, Myths and Legends podcast. I've stayed with that host for quite a while. He does a very good job of making, these are literal stories that are written out in the world, but they are folklore and myths and fiction. So it's a wonderful in-between, and he does a really good job of bringing them to life. He also hosts Fictional, which takes classic works of literature, everything from Dracula to Macbeth, and kind of breaks them down for you in a way that seems more bite-sized and chewable if you don't want to break out the big books. Yeah, I would recommend Fictional and Myths and Legends because they're a wonderful in-between. The host is very good. I've stuck with them for a long period of time. The ads are not very long. They're easy to skip through if you feel like doing that. If not, that's chill. Episodes are also not long either, and they update every week.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I'd want to drop a couple of podcasts out here for y'all. Number one for me, my friends will probably think that my number one that I'm going to drop here is going to be like The Adventure Zone or My Brother and Me.
Oh, no, honey. We know you way better than that.
It's actually going to be 99% Invisible is sort of my number one recommendation. 99% Invisible is a project put on by, I think it's KALW out of Portland. It's hosted by Roman Mars, who is a huge name in podcasting. So if that is recognizable to you, like that name, it's probably because of 99% Invisible. It's a podcast that focuses on spotlighting all of the small design choices in our world and how the history of those has really developed over time and how that shapes our existence. So it's a really cool podcast.
I didn't know it was the exact name of it, but I knew it was something. I knew you would describe this podcast to me before, and I knew it was going to be this.
It's really good. Another one that I just mentioned is The Adventure Zone. If you're a fan of Dungeons and Dragons or a fan of role-playing games or just a fan of fantasy in general, The Adventure Zone is put on by the McElroy brothers and their father, Clint McElroy. It is a goofy adventure into a fantasy world. They're on season two now, which is not a fantasy show, but more of a realistic fantasy-ish. Fiction. It's got fantasy elements, but it's more like cryptid focused. But it's a lot of big goofy jokes, but also a lot of really good storytelling in a collaborative manner. And they take pride in having their story not just be a railroad, but much more collaborative. The last one that I want to sort of plug here is Invisibilia from NPR. It has a lot of the same themes as 99% Invisible, as you can guess from the name Invisibilia. It's put on by NPR. They actually run in a season format, not in a just continuously running format. So I think there's three seasons out right now. And again, it's the invisible forces that shape our world, but more on a person-to-person basis. So like how there was an episode recently about here in Richmond, Virginia. I was stoked to hear this episode, the hardcore music scene here in Richmond, Virginia, and how they had adopted call-out culture and the benefits and the drawbacks from the culture that they adopted. Yeah. It was a really good episode. If you guys are curious, I really recommend you listen to any of those three shows. I do have to drop in a shout out here. I don't know if any of us would be listening to podcasts Diana, you probably would be. I know I wouldn't be listening to podcasts if it weren't for Caitlin. Caitlin introduced me to my first podcast, Stuff You Should Know, and then also to The Adventure Zone and the other McElroy products. So she's definitely a huge part of why I listen to podcasts. So I just wanted to give her a little thank you for that.
Yeah, I started listening to podcasts because I had a few recommended to me, like The Adventure Zone. They didn't take a ton until I personally went out. And the first podcast that I seriously listened to was Night Vale, which got recommended to me by Ian and Connor. So whoever recommended it to them. Night Vale was the first podcast that I really listened to. I followed it for a very long time. And then Myths and Legends, I just kind of picked up because I was looking for something that in that genre that interests me. So, Night Vale, Connor, Ian, for telling me over and over again to, hey man, listen to that, and Connor taking big long time to explain and talk to me about it.
You know, I had completely forgotten about Night Vale. I started listening to Stuff You Should Know in 2010, but I was definitely listening to Night Vale in 2009, but I took a pretty long break. Like I was with Night Vale from the beginning. I said 2009 and 2010. Those are hard incorrect. It's 2012 and 2013 there. That's what I meant. I started listening to Stuff You Should Know in 2013, and I started listening to Night Vale in 2012 when it first launched. But I was listening to Night Vale not because it was a podcast, and I wasn't really into the medium like I was talking about earlier. I was just listening to it sort of as a one-off. So Caitlin still, you know, is probably the person in charge of or responsible for me getting into podcasts. So to all our listeners, blame Caitlin.
Scott, do you have any podcast recommendations? And it's okay if the answer is no.
I have one recommendation. Stop listening to this podcast.
There it is.
Because it's over.
It because it's over.
Thank you for joining us today for our partial informative session, partial rant, partial recommendation list of podcasts, partial joke about names for our podcast. Side note, that wasn't a joke. Those were actual names this podcast could have
actual
been.
Actual names.
We've enjoyed having you here. Please enjoy podcasts. Thank you and good night. Hawaiian pizza.
Wait, hold up. Nope, you're missing
our Twitter is To The Table Pod. You can find us on Facebook and Tumblr at Brought To The Table. You can also visit our website, broughttothetable.com, where you can find links to iTunes and Stitcher, where you can download our podcast, or you can download it and listen to it straight from the website. Please give us an email at broughttothetable@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what your favorite podcasts are, or if you just want to berate us for the quality of our podcast, that's cool too.
Love us. Interact with us. Be part of our community.
I'll berate you for the quality of your podcast. Oh, wait. Oh. You don't have one. Probably.
Most likely.
Probably.
All right. Deuces. Hawaiian pizza.
Bye.
You know, I don't know.